Hello, this is Ken Barron from the NABWMT, joining me from a parking lot. I don't know where is Dr. Michael Lyde. He's the CEO of Lyde Enterprise, and he develops educational and training solutions based on, I understand, best practices that leverage assets of organization. Very entrepreneurial. He's a member of the Black and White Men Together, Southern California. We see him every Wednesday. Working hard on these projects and the like. But today, I'm hoping Michael tell us a little bit about what's happening after the election and why did black men unexpectedly vote for Trump, and particularly how young and maybe young and gay black men do that. So Michael, the floor is yours. Wait, before I do that, I understand three ten black men under the age of 45 went for Trump, double the share he got in 2020. So what's happening, Michael?
You said 3 in 10?
Green on
Okay, 3 in 10.
45 for Trump.
Uh-oh, you broke up again. Sorry.
Well, let's see if we can keep live here. You're still here with us?
Okay.
Look okay. Good.
Yeah, I'm here. I just when you gave the number, you broke up a little bit.
All right. So to repeat, 3 in 10 black men under the age of 45. What's happening?
I think it's there is no simple answer to that question. Based on some conversations that I've had and conversations that I've eavesdropped on, particularly online, there seems to be a growing sense of disenfranchisement, particularly amongst younger black men. It seems like, much like a lot of their white counterparts, they really kind of voted based on fear and grievance. Obviously, their grievances are a little different than your average, white guy in their age group. But they basically felt like our current economy, political systems, and so on and so forth really aren't for them. And this notion that an outsider is supposed to fix all of that persists, much to my frustration, because I'm like, well, I don't see how electing someone who doesn't know what they're doing and their whole persona is basically fraudulent is really going to be a viable solution to very complex issues. But that seems to be what I'm hearing a lot of the time. And so,
Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it seems to me, and I'm an old white guy, it seems to me like the great movements they had in the 60s and 70s, all of our freedoms, especially for homosexuals, especially for women, especially for people of color, were derived from the huge black outpouring against the hate and homosexuality and everything else. It just seems to me like the young folks don't get it. Now, why is that? Do we know or?
I feel like, in my conversations, and I've not obviously not talked to everyone, but just in my conversations day to day with younger black men, heterosexual in particular, there really is a feeling of just kind of things slipping away. Like they've bought into this idea that as males, they are supposed to be in charge. And whatever they ask for, they're supposed to get. And of course, that's not happening. And that's really never happened. Even back in the civil rights era, women drove that ship. They weren't put in the front, but they were driving the movement in a lot of cases, and they were key parts of it. But I see some younger black men actually voted based on their intolerance for LGBTQ rights. We saw the ad with the trans athlete being posted, particularly in Atlanta, Georgia. I heard about that. It was on 4 or 5 times an hour. during the last week of the election.
Yeah.
That really struck at a nerve with a lot of Black men because we have this complex history of our, seemingly heterosexual Black men that are engaging with Black trans women, and and claiming that they were somehow tricked. I think a lot of that grievance and scapegoating, frankly, because it's like, engage with who you want to engage with. Don't lie about it. Be honest. If that's your desire, then indulge it. Just keep it legal and keep it ethical, and consent, and and consent. But I think that a lot of what we saw in this election, particularly amongst our younger Black men, was one, ignorance. Two, again, they bought into this idea of male supremacy. I feel like they also used white supremacy as a proxy. I feel like there are a number of young Black men that don't, that have a really, I'm not sure how to put it. They basically identify with a lot of traditional masculine ideologies. And so if their experiences fall short of that, then it's someone else's fault. It's certainly not them. It's not them recognize, failing to recognize that this ideology doesn't apply to them, first of all, because they're not white men. But also that they are, that somehow if they vote this way, they're going to get, they're going to have greater proximity to power. But you also, the thing I also heard a lot was, well, Trump wrote me a check. And
With his
I'm
signature
just,
on there. I remember
yeah,
that.
I'm just, yeah, I mean, I kept hearing that. And I was just
Yeah.
like,
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, how many times do we have to tell y'all that he may have signed the check, but he held it up so he could put his name on it to help his chances of re-election. He
Right.
didn't want to send you a check. It's like, but so it's, I think there's just a lot of nuance that a lot of our younger brothers are just not engaging with. I think part of that, I think it's systemic. I blame on some levels our educational system that's been eroded, such that critical thinking is really not on the table
That's true.
anymore. And you also have, I think that a lack of critical thinking and a lack of willingness to engage with the complex issues in this election and any other. I was listening to a show, the Karen Hunter show. She's a journalism professor out of New York, actually out of New Jersey, and has a daily show. And there was a young woman, there was a woman that called in, and her son, her 18-year-old son, she and her husband had just taken him to vote for the first time, and he voted for Trump. And when Karen said to him, well, why didn't you vote for Trump? He basically did not have an answer other than a political talking point. He's a businessman. He'll fix it all. And I'm like, fix what? Because he's not run his businesses effectively. I'm like, and it's, and she's like, I'm not going to castigate you, but it was obvious because his parents were like on his case about this. It's his vote. But they're like, we didn't raise you to be this. What in the values we instilled in you does he personify? I mean, there was just a real breakdown.
Michael, so where do we go from here with the black community, particularly the young black community? Let's propose and dream and hope and pray that something goes wrong with the current administration in terms of the incredible extremities, and they're disappointed. To tune out? How do you project that that will happen?
I don't know if they'll tune out. I guess what I would like to see, and something I'm really channeling a lot of my disappointment, shall I say, and underlying rage into solutions. I feel like one of the things that the Black community or our Black communities, because there is not one Black community, needs to do is to really kind of take a greater level of responsibility and direct our energies inward. So we cannot trust the public education system. We cannot trust, social media, popular media to actually educate our children and our young people effectively. The thing that I've found is that a lot of folks, despite taking government, in school, and maybe it's not offered anymore. I don't know. I haven't asked that question, but we need to start teaching our children and about how this government works, about how to really analyze what's happening around them and to really gain a better understanding of all those factors, because that lack of knowledge will cost them. I think that a lot of people continue to believe that our president somehow has the powers of a king. So one of the things that I'm doing, personally, putting my money where my mouth is, I'm investing my time into creating educational products, for our youth. So I'm putting together a reading comprehension workbook, that basically takes the stories, historical stories and poetry and the works of a lot of our ancestors, even back to the African continent, and using that as material to teach our children reading comprehension. So they're critical thinkers, are able to ask questions about what they're hearing. I'm also creating a civics workbook, and obviously trying to put, trying to make it engaging and attractive to, Black children. But also, I am trying to change the narrative about what the possibilities are in the futures of our children. I'm creating a coloring book for young Black boys and one for young Black girls
Okay.
that surveys different professions. So I think the key, really, I would say overall in this last election that we saw, not just amongst Black folk, was just a breakdown in, there was just a real ignorance and even a laziness about really researching issues, because
So
all I
Mike,
saw.
Michael, so do you think, getting back to the global versus the local politics, I understand you're trying to focus internally within your community, especially the young folks. Have we lost that in the Democratic Party? And are we focused, should we focus like you are on the local level? And I'm into politics, but mostly on the national level. But at the local level, it seems like that's where the Republicans did a good job. I hate to say that, but nowadays, it seems like we're pushing against a huge amount of mistrust and misinformation. So on a local basis, I applaud you for doing it, in a concise manner where we can talk to young people starting from the scratch of what it should be. And that's wonderful. And to answer the question, you think the Democratic Party's lost on this in terms of education, and where should they go?
I almost wonder, democracy, one thing I've realized in the last three election cycles, democracy is complex. It's not easy. And the Democratic Party as a whole, while there's a lot of corporate and big money influence there, just enough to corrupt it, I think the Democratic coalition maybe is too big, because you have, I one thing I will say I admire, grudgingly admire, amongst members of the Republican Party, particularly their policymakers and the like, they will vote party over anything else. And this push and pull between, we need to be more progressive as a nation, versus, this is moving too much too fast. I think that's part of the complexity. So I feel like we need to do, as members of the Democratic Party, a better job of educating the people around us on a local level, but also tying those lessons to what's happening on the national level and really giving people a better understanding of geopolitics. One of the things, I've started listening to Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, The Message, and it was, I'm barely a third of the way into it, so I haven't even gotten to the part that got him in all the trouble,
I remember.
when he when he went to Gaza, but
Yeah, right.
just I think the ethos in there and just the I could feel the level of because his brother is sharp and he's done the homework, there are things that he knows and understands that the average black person does not. Those things don't get to our into, the complexity of that thought does not get to the folks in our neighborhoods. I would say one thing that I benefited from, and I appreciate it more as the days go by. When I was in high school, I was in the Upper Bound program,
Oh,
and I
yeah.
was the only student in my class, I guess, because it was during the school year. It wasn't the summer program, it was the school year. So I was a history class of one. So I worked with the professor one-on-one, which was unnerving some days if I didn't finish the reading, because he would look at me like, what did it, but that's another story, because I'll go on a tangent with that. But the thing I took was he introduced me to concepts that I never knew existed. Introduced me to the Moors in Spain and the transatlantic slave trade in full, and looking at that as a historical artifact. And that level of just detail, I'm going to take you by the hand and walk you through this. You start to see the parallels, and I wish I could remember that man's name, because I'm so grateful to him for that. But I guess that was what nearly 40 years ago that I got that instruction, so he might not be with us anymore. But knowing him, he's probably a vegan and living quite well at this point. But
So,
yeah, I
Michael,
guess.
I'm kind of a same mind with you. Basically, saving democracy, which I've worked on and other people have for the last 2 years, it's just too highbrow. What we're doing right now is not appealing to the average person that doesn't want to tune in that much. And again, back to the local setup, it seems like the people just want to know about their job. They want to know about the economy. And thereafter, yes, they'll hear a story about, people who are famous have helped other people out, and they will get on social media. But I'm with you, Michael. I think now we need to start with the grassroots. Well, our time's almost up. I'm so excited. We could catch you while you're en route to where? The airport. Where are you going?
I'm actually meeting with a client at
Oh,
the
good.
Airport Marriott, and it's a strategic session with a client as well as one of my associates. So we got a
And
book
that's
we're trying to
basically
finish.
what Michael does. He roams the universe, telling people about how to do a better job in terms of educating people. And we appreciate that for him. Michael, how can anyone get in touch with you? You want to tell us?
Well, sure. You can actually reach me at michaellide.com. So that's michaellyd as in dog, e as in egg.com. That's my blog. And the name of my company is Lied Enterprises, which again is my last name, and enterprises like the starship.com.
Okay, but Michael, thank you so much.
Yes.
I've learned a lot. I think our conversations on young black folks and where they are and where they'll go is really, I think, would help people out. Again, good luck with your
Okay.
client, and I guess we'll
Thank
see
you.
you tomorrow because I see Michael and I meet every Wednesday at the Hot Java in Long Beach. If you're around in that area, come in and listen to those wise words of Dr. Lai, should you wish to do so. Okay.
Wise.
This is
I'm working on it.
okay. Ken Barron from the National Association of Black and White Men Together. You can go on our website, nabwmt.org. And of course, we'd like you to listen to the podcasts, one of which Michael's been only too gracious to help us out. Thank you, Michael. We'll be in touch. Bye bye.